Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is the real-life Aladdin. He didn't find a lamp. He found a ledger. Forget the magic lamp. Forget wishes granted by some benevolent genie. Our story unfolds right in the labyrinthine streets of Baghdad, 1867. It's a city just teeming with life, but also choked by secrets and, well, perpetually shadowed by ancient power. We're about to plunge into the incredible, almost fantastical tale of Adil Awin, just an 18-year-old street boy. And his sudden, really meteoric rise to power seemed utterly impossible. He transformed, it felt like in the blink of an eye, from this nameless urchin, just a phantom in the crowded souks, to a figure whose whispers echoed, in the highest echelons of society. He appeared to bend the city's will, to reshape its very destiny, and all he had, apparently, was a simple leather-bound book.
But, that narrative, the fortunate discovery, the lucky break that turns a pauper into a prince, that's often the most dangerous one, isn't it? The most deceptive. What if Adil's story isn't really one of pure, unadulterated magic and serendipity, but of precise, cold, and utterly ruthless manipulation? Our deep dive today is into that very question. We're unraveling the threads of this seemingly miraculous ascent. We are going to peel back the layers of this historical mystery, not just to uncover what Adil found, or maybe even what he thought he found, but to expose the architects behind the curtain, the true forces who painstakingly, deliberately planted that ledger. Because the most potent illusions, well, they're the ones where the audience believes they're witnessing a miracle, when in fact they're just observing a carefully sprung, meticulously designed trap. So our mission today is to try and unearth the hidden architects of this particular chaos.
Okay, so let's start unpacking this. It's a really captivating mystery. Our story opens, as you said, in the grimy, bustling, yet undeniably vibrant slums of Baghdad, 1867. Adil Awin is just 18, a young man who knows only the harsh realities of survival on the street. I mean, his daily existence is just, it's pure resilience. He relies entirely on quick wits, sharper instincts, and incredibly nimble fingers. His primary skill, his livelihood, is the delicate art of sleight of hand. He moves like a ghost through those crowded markets, a shadow flitting between stalls, expertly, almost invisibly, relieving unsuspecting pockets of their coins. He lives on the absolute fringes, totally beneath the notice of the powerful, but he's keenly observant of everything around him. Anonymous, unseen, a product of the city's underbelly, utterly disconnected from the gilded world of wealthy merchants and officials, his world is just hunger, grit, survival. Then, on this one particular afternoon, everything changes. He targets a foreign merchant. This isn't just any mark. This guy, his robes, his air of confidence, it all suggests real opulence, valuable treasures. For Adil, it's routine. A practiced move honed by years of desperate necessity. He expects the jingle of coins, maybe a small pouch of silver, enough for a meal, another day. But what he pulls out from the merchant's inner robes, it's something entirely different, unexpected. It's a leather-bound book, old, heavy, and crucially written in a code he doesn't understand. A script totally alien to him. Just imagine the feel of it in his hands, the weight, the rough texture of old leather. So different from cold metal coins. This isn't a trinket, it's a profound mystery. This sudden burden immediately signals he stumbled onto something far more significant, probably far more dangerous than just a handful of dinars. He clutches it, this heavy, silent secret. He has no idea. He's just become the unwitting protagonist in a play far older, far more complex than he could possibly imagine.
And right there, that's precisely where our skepticism, as we look at the records, has to kick in. It's such a classic story setup, isn't it? The lucky break, the unexpected treasure. But for us, examining the sources, this moment, this fortuitous find, it immediately flags as the first carefully placed piece in a much larger, much more sinister puzzle. Because you see, the sources are quite explicit on this point. This book was not lost. It wasn't the result of carelessness by some merchant. It wasn't a stroke of random luck for a deal. No, the ledger was in fact meant to be stolen.
Meant to be stolen. Wow.
Exactly. And that single detail, it just transforms the entire narrative, doesn't it? It shifts it from serendipity and chance to precise, calculated, deliberate intent. It forces us to ask this really profound, unsettling question. Who would intentionally lose such a monumentally powerful object, an object filled with the literal bones of the city's corruption, in such a vulnerable yet strategically specific way? And what ultimate long-game purpose could that possibly serve? So this isn't a story of fortunate discovery. It's more like a chilling blueprint of orchestrated destabilization, where a seemingly random act was actually the first domino, carefully placed by unseen hands. And what's truly unsettling about this ledger, what makes its accidental discovery so suspicious in hindsight, is just how devastating, how comprehensive its contents were. This wasn't just a personal diary, you know, filled with private thoughts or petty grievances. This was the city's shadow heart laid completely bare. Inside, meticulously recorded, were names, debts, bribes, a precise, almost bureaucratic record of illicit transactions, hidden allegiances, unspoken compromises, the very bones of the city's corruption. The single unassuming artifact. It didn't just expose individual wrongdoing. It held the terrifying power to unravel the entire established order of Baghdad, to tear down its carefully constructed facade of legitimacy.
So it wasn't just names, it was the whole system.
The whole corrupt system, yes. Think about the implications. It pointed not just to isolated incidents by a few bad actors, but to a systemic, deeply entrenched network of corruption. It permeated every level of society. This ledger was essentially a detailed, damning map. It showed the arteries and veins of power, revealing how every influential figure, from, say, the lowliest tax collector right up to the Sultan's most trusted advisors, was connected, indebted, compromised, or controlled. To possess such a document, well, it was like holding the entire city's clandestine power structure, its very soul, right there in your hands. It was the blueprint of their hidden empire.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. Because what Adil does next, it's nothing short of audacious. Almost unbelievable, really. Remember, he's just a street boy, a pickpocket. No formal education, no network, no political experience, no social standing whatsoever. Yet, armed with this dense, coded book, a book he initially couldn't even read, he transforms almost overnight. From an anonymous urchin into a calculating, ruthless manipulator. He doesn't just decipher the secrets, he weaponizes them with surgical precision. The sources say he blackmailed judges, exposed ministers, played men against each other. Imagine the sheer nerve, the strategic genius required for that. Think about a prominent judge, maybe lauded for his integrity, suddenly finding a detailed account of some old bribe, maybe a land deal from years ago, just landing anonymously on his desk. Dates, names, amounts, everything. Or a powerful minister, publicly pious, devoted to the Sultan, presented with undeniable proof of secret meetings with rival factions. Maybe illicit deals to manipulate grain prices during a famine. Adil isn't just spreading gossip here. He's deploying targeted, devastating leverage. Turning whispers into political ruin, he transforms hidden ledgers into public shaming, forgotten promises into career-ending scandals. The impact is swift, brutal, utterly catastrophic for these powerful figures who suddenly find their lives crumbling around them, all seemingly at the whim of a boy from the slums. And what follows is this extraordinary, almost mythological ascent. Adil's trajectory is so improbable, so completely defined of all social norms, it becomes the stuff of legend. He moves with breathtaking speed from the alleys to the inner courts. I mean, that's a journey that typically takes generations of careful maneuvering, if it happens at all. The very people who once ignored him, who probably would have had him whipped for daring to look them in the eye, now tremble at his whispers. They're eager to appease him, desperate to avoid his gaze. He progresses from whispers in the market, where he was just a shadow, to a coveted seat inside the palace itself. A place of ultimate power and influence, previously unthinkable for someone of his origins. This isn't just social mobility, it's a total societal upheaval, driven by the ruthless application of devastating information. The transformation is stark. From rags to silks, from stealing bread to dining with governors, and the people of Baghdad, watching this impossible rise, they start whispering that he must have a genie, drawing parallels to Aladdin. His actions, his presence, it seems miraculous. Defying all logic about power, hierarchy, fate, he's the visible symbol of a new, unsettling order.
But those who only saw him rise and didn't see reckoning, they were missing the crucial point. The devastating point, really. From our vantage point, looking at the deeper insights in the sources, his ascent looks far less like a testament to Adil's singular genius or, you know, an act of divine intervention. It looks far more like a carefully controlled experiment. Yes. It compels us to engage in that critical thinking, right? To question the visible success, the dazzling story, and to meticulously search for the unseen motives operating underneath. The public might have seen him as just lucky, or maybe even blessed by a genie, like you said. But what if his elevation was meticulously managed? His every audacious move observed, perhaps even subtly guided by a hidden hand? This wasn't about him succeeding in a chaotic world. It was about them, these unseen shadow forces, achieving their objectives through his actions. The reckoning the public didn't see wasn't for Adil, not yet anyway. It was for the system itself. an entire political and social structure being intentionally shaken, reshaped, and ultimately primed for a complete overhaul. He was just the tool they used to start the process. And what's truly fascinating here, and frankly deeply disturbing, is the very nature of the power he seemingly wielded. Was it true sovereign power, the kind that dictates and controls? Or was it just the illusion of it, a brilliantly staged performance? Our sources are quite explicit. They cut right through the myth. Adil didn't become powerful. He became visible.
Visible, not powerful. That's a huge distinction.
It's critical, a profound paradox, especially in a city governed by these deep, hidden power structures. True power, the kind that rules from the deepest shadows, it operates in obscurity. It maintains control without ever drawing attention to itself. Adil, by using the ledger to expose, to blackmail, to dismantle the existing order, he essentially became a beacon. He drew all eyes to himself, to his rise, his audacious acts. His influence was undeniable, yes, but it was a brightly lit influence, one that put him squarely, irrevocably, in the public gaze. And this very visibility, initially perceived as his greatest strength, actually became his vulnerability. It made him a tool, an instrument for a grander, more sinister design, rather than a master of his own destiny. He was performing brilliantly on a meticulously constructed stage, you see, not pulling the strings from backstage. So his meteoric rise wasn't empowerment. It was the perfect spotlight, carefully aimed to distract from the real puppeteers pulling strings in the dark. So if we really connect this to the bigger picture, it becomes chillingly clear. Adil Island was never truly in control. Never. He was merely an instrument, a convenient lever for a far more ancient, far more insidious force. These men who rule from the shadows, part of a syndicate older than the palace itself. Now, this isn't some fleeting cabal, you know, some newly formed political faction. This is described as a pervasive, deeply entrenched entity, a network that's existed for generations, maybe even centuries. It operates beyond the shifting tides of individual rulers or government structures. Imagine an organization so patient, so far-reaching, so utterly detached, that it views the rise and fall of sultans, viziers, entire empires, not as cataclysms, but as mere ripples on a vast, unchanging ocean.
That's hard to even fathom, a power that old, that hidden.
Exactly. Their true goals aren't about momentary power grabs or political wins. They're about long-term, systemic control, operating with a patience and a reach that's beyond the comprehension of any single individual. This syndicate, it operates like a kind of bureaucratic horror, where systems and procedures are designed to perpetuate their influence, seemingly without a direct, visible human hand. Their power isn't invisible command, but in their ability to subtly shape the environment, to influence the rules of the game itself, rather than just winning a single match.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
They are the architects of the very system, not just players within it.
That's an incredibly unsettling thought, an organization so ancient, so deeply embedded. But it does raise a question for me. It almost feels too perfect, you know, this idea of an ancient syndicate operating entirely in the shadows. Do the sources give any hint at how they managed that? How did they maintain such absolute secrecy for so long? How did they recruit people? It feels like an impossible feat, especially in a world hungry for information, always trying to expose secrets. What allowed them to endure through so many different regimes and upheavals?
That's an excellent question, and it really gets to the heart of their specific kind of power. The sources suggest their secrecy wasn't maintained through, say, brute force or constant suppression. It was more through infiltration, careful manipulation of information, and the cultivation of an almost mythical reputation that, frankly, discouraged deep inquiry. Fear of the unknown, perhaps. They didn't necessarily recruit in the traditional sense, like signing people up. It seems they identified vulnerabilities, leveraged existing ambitions. They offered paths to power or protection for those who would serve their ends, often without those individuals even fully grasping the true scope of the syndicate they were now entangled with.
So people might not even know who they were truly working for.
Quite possibly. Or they might have understood only a small part of the picture. Think of it less as a formal organization with a clear hierarchy and membership list, and more as a vast, self-perpetuating influence network. Loyalty might be born of convenience or fear, or just a shared interest in maintaining the specific kind of stability or instability that the syndicate orchestrates. They operated not by issuing direct orders from the shadows necessarily, but by crafting incentives. by subtly shifting allegiances, by ensuring their core interests were always served, regardless of who happened to be sitting on the throne at any given moment. They are the ultimate long game players, you see. The entire city is their chessboard, and its inhabitants, from the sultan down to the street boy, are merely pieces to be positioned and sometimes sacrificed. So this brings us to the chillingly logical motivation behind the syndicate's actions. Why? Why would such a powerful hidden group allow or even orchestrate the widespread chaos that Adil Alin unleashed? Why risk exposure? Why undermine the very system they supposedly controlled? Well, the syndicate's motivation, when you view it through their ancient calculating lens, is terrifyingly rational. Adil's actions exposing corruption, humiliating powerful men, dismantling established hierarchies, these were not chaotic to them, not really. On the contrary, these disruptions served a precise, calculated, deeply strategic purpose.
A purpose like what? Clearinghouse?
Perhaps exactly that. Maybe they were systematically clearing out old, less useful figures from their own vast network. Figures who'd become liabilities, maybe grown too independent or just outlived their utility to the syndicate's larger plan. Or maybe they were intentionally sowing discord, generating an environment of profound confusion and distrust within the city. Because that kind of widespread instability would then allow them to consolidate their own unseen power more firmly, to rebuild the system according to their own designs, unimpeded by the old guard. Adil became more useful to the syndicate precisely because he was dismantling the existing order. He was, in effect, a controlled demolition, a targeted strike, expertly preparing the ground for a new structure that they, and only they, would oversee. So ultimately, Adil wasn't a rebel. He was a sophisticated tool for systemic overhaul, a controlled demolition expertly wielded by architects who wanted a new foundation, not just a few repairs.
Okay, but this still raises that fundamental question, doesn't it? The one I imagine you, listening right now, might be grappling with. If their power thrives in absolute secrecy, if they operate entirely from the shadows, why risk making any part of their network visible, even through an intermediary like Adil? Wouldn't that fundamentally undermine them? Wouldn't it reveal their hand, shatter the shadows they depend on? It just seems so counterintuitive for a group obsessed with unseen control. Surely such a massive disruption would eventually lead back to them, wouldn't it? How could it not?
And that precisely is the strategic genius of it, or perhaps the terrifying logic, depending on how you look at it. The key was making Adil visible. Every secret he exposed, every powerful man he humiliated, every pillar of the old order he toppled. It wasn't a blow against the syndicate. It was a meticulously orchestrated outcome that served their agenda. This was never about empowering Dale. It was about strategically disrupting the city to achieve the syndicate's larger unseen goals without ever implicating themselves.
Like a controlled burn. They set the fire, but directed where it went.
Exactly like that. Think of it as complex surgery on the body politic of Baghdad. Adil was the scalpel, precise, sharp, and ultimately disposable. He cut away the diseased parts of the city's power structure, or maybe just the parts they wanted to replace. This pattern of controlled chaos, where disruption is just a means to a greater hidden end. That's a hallmark of truly pervasive, insidious power, bureaucratic horror in its purest form. They understood that the perception of chaos, the illusion of this self-made boy shaking up the city, could be an incredibly powerful tool. It was a means to achieve their desired outcome without ever revealing their own presence, without leaving a single trace leading back to their shadowy network. By allowing Adil to take center stage, to become the visible face of change and upheaval, they ensured that the blame for the ensuing instability when the time inevitably came would rest squarely and solely on his shoulders. Meanwhile, their own influence remained untouched, maybe even strengthened back in the deeper, impenetrable shadows. They just let the fire burn, knowing exactly where it would stop, and knowing exactly who would be blamed for the ashes. And so the transition from Adil's usefulness to his inevitable expendability, well, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a change of plans. It was always part of the design, integral to it, as the chaos he instigated grew too loud. As the city descended further into instability, mistrust, economic turmoil, a new critical need arose for the syndicate. They needed someone to blame.
The scapegoat.
The perfect scapegoat. And Adil, the highly visible, incredibly audacious agent of all this chaos, was ready-made for the role. His very visibility, which for a time seemed to be the source of his incredible power, now became his fatal flaw, the glaring target that blinded everyone to the real forces at play. He was the most obvious target, the easiest, most convenient explanation for the turmoil gripping Baghdad. The puppet masters had allowed their puppet to dance wildly across the stage, captivating the audience, right? But all along, they knew. They knew that when the show was over, when the audience demanded accountability, the strings would simply be cut, and the puppet would be discarded. His purpose was fulfilled the moment the city reached its breaking point and desperately needed a villain, a single identifiable face to absorb all its grievances and fears.
And what's truly chilling when you really scrutinize the sources on this is how perfectly designed Adil was for this ultimate tragic role. It's almost too neat. The texts really highlight his vulnerability, a vulnerability that, looking back, seems crafted with such sinister precision. He was the street boy who knew too much, who left no record, no allies, no future. This focus on what he lacked is so telling, isn't it? It's like a blueprint for expendability. He had no established family name to defend him, no official history or lineage to trace back, no powerful friends or loyal followers to speak up for him when the tides inevitably turned.
Exactly. It made him the ideal scapegoat.
Just easy to condemn, easy to dismiss, because he had no foundation, no roots, no real connection to the very system he was exposing. Beyond the ledger itself, he was, in effect, a blank slate, an empty vessel onto which the syndicate could project all the city's ills, all its corruption, all its instability. It really reinforces this deeply unsettling idea of being trapped in a system so vast, so ancient, so calculating, that your very existence, your identity, is just a temporary function of its design. You start to realize that maybe your unique path wasn't your own at all. Maybe it was just a preordained route in a grander, terrifying game where you're always just a piece to be moved and eventually removed.
Precisely. That lack of a record was crucial. It meant all the chaos he instigated, every secret exposed, every humiliation orchestrated, it could all be attributed solely to him, personally. There would be no paper trail, no official documents, no verifiable evidence leading back to the true powers pulling the strings. His actions were isolated, clean, easily severed from their origin, leaving the syndicate's hands utterly clean. His lack of allies? Well, that meant when the time came for the reckoning, there'd be no one to mourn him effectively, no one to credibly defend him in the halls of power, no powerful voice to even question the official narrative of his downfall. He was utterly devastatingly alone, completely. And crucially, that lack of a future, it meant his story could be terminated abruptly. No loose ends, no lingering consequences that might unravel the syndicate's ultimate plan down the line. He was like a project with a built-in expiration date, designed to self-destruct upon completion, leaving nothing behind but an official, politically convenient explanation. His very existence was just an elaborate, temporary construct built for a single purpose and then dismantled. So, the inevitable end. It was set in motion with this cold, almost bureaucratic efficiency. It's chillingly described in the sources, so they gave him a deal. Adil Aylin, the audacious street boy who once held the city's most dangerous secrets right in his hand, he was simply delivered to his fate.
Not captured, yeah. Just handed over.
That's how it's portrayed. Not a desperate capture, no violent struggle, no dramatic arrest described. It's presented as a passive handing over, a simple transaction. This implies he was never truly his own agent, was he? Never a free player. Always just an asset to be deployed, utilized, and then, once his utility had run its course, discarded with clinical indifference. The language used is haunting. They gave them a deal, suggesting a quiet, almost surgical disposal rather than some, you know, passionate confrontation. He had served his purpose. The chaos reached its intended peak, destabilized the old order, paved the way for the syndicate's new design. The system merely closed its account, removed the most visible, most dangerous variable from the equation, almost as if he were just another temporary entry in a ledger himself, balanced and then erased.
Wow. This entire story, this deep dive into Adil Aylin and his fateful ledger, it really leaves you with a chilling reflection on the nature of power itself, doesn't it? A power that operates entirely unseen, entirely from the shadows. Where individuals, even those who seem to achieve impossible heights, like Adil, are merely pawns. Pawns in a game they never truly comprehend, let alone control. It makes you ponder the profound implications for how we understand history, for the stories we tell ourselves about how the world actually works, how many figures throughout history, figures initially seen as self-made, as powerful movers and shakers, as legendary Aladdins, how many were merely instruments for unseen forces, their ascents carefully orchestrated, their downfalls meticulously planned, how many of their stories were carefully crafted, their triumphs amplified, their inevitable demises engineered, only for them to be erased when their part was played, when their utility was finally exhausted. It casts this long, unsettling shadow on every rags to witch's tale, really. It forces you to question the visible and to always, always look for the hidden hand. It suggests that perhaps true power isn't about making a name for yourself at all, but about making absolutely sure no one ever knows yours.
Indeed. And the ultimate haunting thought here is that the syndicate's control was likely never truly threatened, never really at risk. That ledger, it was never truly lost to them. It was always just an extension of their will, a tool they deliberately allowed to be stolen for a specific calculated purpose. Ade was just a temporary custodian, a visible hand in their invisible game, a bright, fleeting distraction for the city to focus on. And when his role was complete, when the stage had been cleared according to their plan, the book, the very source of all his perceived power, it simply returned to the hands that never truly let it go in the first place. Adil, the boy who dared to wield it, the visible agent of change, he just vanished. His memory swallowed by the very shadows he was ironically meant to expose.
The book never left their hands. It only erased the boy who held it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.